popular demand.
The NBL One West Radio Show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West Radio Show.
Welcome along, NBL One West Radio Show. It's been a heck of a long season, but we're finally here, our grand final edition of the NBL One West Radio Show. Brett Costello with you. I'm joined by Jordan Scardetta and Ben Pether, our regular contributors. Welcome along, as always.
Thanks, Brett. Nice to be here, as always. And, oh, wait, hang on. Last time we were together, I took the first one as the current commentator of the year. I should have. Pass the baton. The number one man. The number
Good
one
evening,
man.
Boys. It's just got a bit hot in this room. I'm going to put the aircon on. But yeah, thank you for the warm welcome. Yeah, what a fantastic weekend of basketball we had. Jordan, you were on the Rockingham Warwick game on the radio. And then Thursday night, an even bigger game. Let's start with that one.
Yeah. Unbelievable at Warwick State. At Wally Hagen between Warwick and Coburn. And look, the heartbreaker for the Coburn Cougars. I'm sure we'll break it down even more in a moment. But gee, the Warwick Senators just never quit on that game. And it was an unbelievable finish that last minute. You know, it's one that the Coburn Cougars Club would love to forget, and one that the Warwick Senators were, you know, nearly built enough momentum to knock off Rockingham in the hothouse on Saturday night as well. They were very much in that game until the last couple of minutes, the Senators. But yeah, that Thursday night game was one of the best finishes you're likely to see in a game of NBL One West. It was phenomenal stuff, and I was very lucky to be there calling that one.
Absolutely. Kyle Zuni, 1 of 9, knocks down that triple, pretty much passed to himself on the out-of-bounds play. And Friday night, I was at Joondalup with the Joondalup Wolves, got a win literally on the buzzer. The Goldfields Giants had a good look from Jesse Gee. He had a great game. But let's not forget our women's side as well. The Wheels of the Tigers went 2 for 2 on the weekend. The reigning premiers look like they could be breaking the inevitable storm of the Warwick Senators come Friday night. The prediction of all predictions. Who knows, Brett Costello? What was your favourite game of the weekend?
Well, look, certainly it's hard to go past that buzzer beater from the Senators, but you were referring to that unbeatable sort of run that they're on at the moment. The Willetton Tigers women are certainly peaking at the right time. They're certainly good. You know, winning form is good form.
Yeah, it is. It is. And the Warwick Senators, look, no one's rocked the boat enough yet for us to really put some worrying signs about them. But if we could get deep in their bench, if the Wheelton Tigers could do that, we chat a little bit later on with Mel Marsh, as you might mention in a minute. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see how they go about stopping the likes of Fibbage and the walking bucket in Stacey Barr.
Well, certainly a big show ahead of us. You mentioned we do have Melissa Marsh, assistant at the Willetton Tigers. We've got all of our grand finals teams represented. Ryan Godfrey from the Rockingham Flames, Leonie Fibich from the Senators, of course, and Mariang Muo. Supposedly that is the correct way to say his name, or I've done my best effort at least anyway.
Yes, yeah, there was plenty of different ways that there's been pronounced across the year. But yes, we got corrected a couple of times. Mariang Muo is
what I reckon you've done pretty well. From the Geraldton Buccaneers, of course, and all of these games that we're talking about, of course, down at the Bendat Basketball Centre, Friday night for the women, 7:30 p.m. and then Saturday night for the men, 7 p.m. And Ben, you were saying, of course, there's a bit of an extra spoil for the winners of the grand finals this year as well.
Yeah, of course, all of them will be jumping on a plane come Friday morning the following week, and they'll be heading over to Melbourne for our inaugural NBL One finals. And we saw on the weekend that the NBL One East, they've had their finals already. The Albury Wodonga Bandits with none other than Lauren Jackson claiming the women's conference there, so they've already booked their ticket to the NBL One finals.
We'll break down all of the results from the big weekend last weekend after this, and we've got 4 massive guests to smash through on this week's edition of the NBL One West Radio Show.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
Let's get this thing started.
The all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
NBL One West Radio Show, it's our grand final edition. Brett, Jordan and Ben all in studio this week. Well, across the last 4 days of last weekend, it all started on Thursday night with women's action. down there in Mandurah as the Magic faced the Flames in the first of the semi-finals, the Magic getting up 77-72. The second women's game that night, guys, was the Willetton Tigers getting up in that close one, just 5 points in the end. It was really down to the wire, 103-98, the Tigers getting up over the Cougars.
Yeah, big one for Willetton because they'd had some really indifferent, patchy form coming in to the final series. And then, you know, they gave it a really good crack in week one against the Warwick Senators. Couldn't get across the line. You know, Stacey Parr comes up from being away for an entire week in interstate and then, you know, comes up and hits 25 points after starting on the bench. And, you know, it was unbelievable in that game. And then, you know, to come up 5 days later and, you know, put up a performance like that. They were challenged hard by Coburn. They got out to a decent lead in that game. And, you know, Emma Gandini, huge night, 25 points and a half. And then, you know, 31 for the game was unbelievable. But, you know, and Coburn really pushed back at them down the stretch. But, you know, to have that nous to hang on in a game like that where another team is closing fast, have closed from a 20-plus point deficit to, you know, to take the lead in the last quarter and then, you know, to have Alex Sharp come through, you know, Sam Lubke come through and hit big buckets for you down the stretch and make sure you get that W and, you know, get yourself across the line. It has to give you something as a team, you know, to sort of stare it in the face like that and go, oh, geez, is this how our season's going to end? You know, 15-5 season, is this how it's going to end with back-to-back losses? To stare that down and then, you know, take that step and win that game must have been huge for the Tigers.
It's really, really simple how the Tigers go about it. Offensive rebounds and creating turnovers and getting stops. That's pretty much how they've done it all season. I'll give you a stat from the weekend. They had 22 offensive rebounds. They had 23 defensive rebounds. Something else to keep in mind is that and interesting to know for them is in regards to the steals. They only had 6 steals on the night, but and the other thing to notice was for the Coburn Cougars, which is not usually what happens against the Willetton Tigers, is the Coburn Cougars shot 55% from the field, but they had 15 more shots than the Willetton Tigers, and it was none other than Emma Gandini. She had 31 points. She had the 6 rebounds. She went 11 of 17. Alex Sharp had 30 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, but it's how the Willetton Tigers, where there's a will, there's a way, and they've just willed their way across the line in some of these games, and so those offensive rebounds and then creating stops. And it was interesting to see that even though Coburn Cougars shot the 55% from the field, which is probably one of their highest clips for the season, they just made it happen. And then that dagger from Sam Lubke, which literally hit one side of the ring, hit the backboard, hit the other side of the ring, and dropped straight through the middle. And you just saw there, Coach Stace was like, just the hands in the head almost. It didn't happen, but metaphorically it was happening. And unfortunately for Coburn, they had a great season. And Coach Stace put a huge team together. They've learned from that. And they're young as well. Jesse Edwards been rewarded with that contract with the Perth Lynx. But the Willetton Tigers, and then Saturday, they backed it up again.
Yeah, certainly did on Saturday. And, you know, I guess we came on last week's show, Brett, and I was sort of saying that, you know, I feel like this is going to be the top two matchup, that no matter who gets through to these preliminary finals, that Warwick and Joondalup have been far away the best teams in the competition this year for the women's, and that they should get the job done at home. And Willetton just, again, travel up the highway. You know, they're without Hayley Winter, who's one of their prime movers, I guess, of the basketball. Doesn't play in this game. And you know, so you're relying on Sophie Doran, 21 years old, who's been a role player off the bench, comes in and, you know, is great on the night, hits double digits in points, lays out a few assists as well, and just has a profound impact on the game as a role player coming into the starting five, plays over half an hour. And, you know, and then they can flip Taylor Hepburn and Sam Lubke off the bench. You know, Lubke starts in this game after Hepburn starts on Thursday night. You know, you can use those two in a rotation, and then you've got the ever-reliable Alex Sharp, and they go up there and play one of their best, most complete performances of the year and get the job done against a Joondalup team that would have been probably expecting better.
Well, they lost 2 games in the regular season. And they lose 1 in the playoffs and they're out. And look, it'd be a surprise to the Joondalup Wolves. The Big Bad Wolf gets bled out so many times at the grand final. It's because they were the number one team or club, should I say, in the NBL One West. They won that award at the NBL One Awards Nights. Their men's team, which we'll touch on a bit later, they made it to the Final Four. The women's made it to the Final Four as well. Tasia Merrill had the 16-10. Robbie Ryan had a 23-9-9, pretty much on triple-double watch. But the one thing that I liked about Willerton, and I literally went home from the Rockingham Flames Warwick Senators men's game, and I chucked on the women's game and I watched it through, and the one thing that I noticed about it was the ability of Willerton to play off 2 feet, and they'd penetrate the paint, they'd get 2 feet in the paint, they'd kick it out and they'd hit their shooters. And you saw Des Kelly, she had the 28 points, she had the 10 rebounds, but it was the 8 of 14 from the 3-point line. It was the penetration of Emma Gandini to be able to come to a jump shot, reverse pivot, kick it out and find her open. Sophie Doran played 31 minutes. They were able to tap her on the shoulder. She comes out, she was a plus minus of 18. Her ability to get downhill, she'd be trapped sometimes, be able to stay composed, make a decision, and she had 5 assists, and she led them for assists. So yeah, I was really impressed with how Willerton be able to do it, and it was fascinating because it was the way they did it on Saturday night was completely different to how they did it on Thursday night. They only had the 9 offensive rebounds on the Saturday night, but they shot a clip of 53%. They had 10 less shots than the Joondalup Wolves, and to go in to HBF Arena Joondalup on a Saturday night on the back of arguably 2 games in 3 days to get the job done, they're going to bring it Friday night.
Yeah, it's going to be huge for them on Friday. And look, they come up against a Warwick Senators side who, you know, Mandurah win their way through to play Warwick at Warwick. And, you know, I was on a game in Rockingham that night, so I didn't get to see this one unfold as it happened. But, you know, don't look to have been, you know, too troubled by Mandurah for long stretches of this game. And, you know, professional performance, I guess, is how you would describe what the Warwick Senators did.
Yeah, look, it is. And look, we've been talking about the Senators all year, about their ability. They brought in Leonie Fibich. Of course, she's a star. She's represented Germany at the junior and the national level. But one thing I like about the Willetton Tigers, and we'll get into it a little bit later on with our preview of the grand finals, is they have the defensive capabilities to disrupt a Warwick offense. And they've had 3 looks at it. They've had 3 goes at it now. They've had 2 goes at it in particular more recently. But in particular, they have the dynamic to be able to disrupt our Warwick Senators offense, which could be danger for them on Friday.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to that matchup, and yeah, we'll break it down in a minute.
Well, let's turn our eyes to the men's semi-finals now. Both games were just 2 points in it.
Yeah, unbelievable set of semi-finals, wasn't it, Ben? We both got the call on those ones. I had Thursday, and like we touched on it at the start of the show, that it was one of the more unbelievable finishes that you'll see, trailing by 6 with less than a minute to go, to then win it in regulation for the Senators. But it was the way it kind of broke down that was as surprising as anything from the Cougars' perspective. You know, missed free throws. You know, Josh Hunt had been excellent all night, had probably his game of the year, and then, you know, he caught the bug as well of missing free throws, and Saber Chan misses some free throws. Pascal Chukwu misses a dunk.
You know, like
has the alley-oop sort of dunk that he just completely misses on, then turns the ball over for hanging on the rim, you know, and they take it back the other way. As you said, Kyle Zernick had 1 for 9, make it 2 for 10 on the back of that shot, and then, you know, Pascal Chukwu fumbles the ball as it comes, you know, as it comes to him, as he's looking to post up, rolls out of play, 9 seconds left. No, sorry, 12 seconds left. They're able to take it the length of the court, and then, you know, had 1.8 on the clock to take it the entire length of the court, and, you know, Zunic, just smart play, like unbelievably smart player, just throw it, you know, as far as he can, close to the sideline, you know, make the defense come across, tip it out of play, and then okay. You know, you've bled 0.4 of a second off the clock, you know, and you get the stop play from inside your own half. They didn't have any timeouts to advance the ball, and, you know, that was smart to be able to do that. And then, yeah, the setup for the Majuk play, which, you know, when you had Brian Michaels, Kyle Zunick, you know, George Pearl out on the court, who could all hit the 3-ball, you know, then you have Majuk inside and you know, defense comes to the outside. It's just unbelievable to see them come from 6 down, score the last 8 points of the game in the last minute, win it. Just an unbelievable finish in that semifinal.
Yeah, it was quite incredible. I was there to watch it live and just sat as an observer and just purely just someone who's enjoying a basketball game on a Thursday night. And one thing I take away from it is that what Coburn got out of their season. Of course, they went 0-2 in the finals, but where they started their season to where they are now, they've learned heaps about their group. They saw the emergence of Keegan Phillips and Luke Phillips, and they saw Josh Hunt, who probably had a quieter start to the season, and some of the members at Coburn let me know about that as well, that we'd sort of been sleeping on him, but full credit to him. Hopefully, he gets an opportunity at that DP level or continues to improve. I think Sabre Chan had one of his best years. I think he's probably had in the last three or four, and Gaff Field, of course, was just himself, really. But one thing I learned from Thursday night was that Luke Brennan is arguably the one, if not, but top three best coaches in the league, and there's a reason why he's one of the assistants for the Perth Wildcats. We had him on the show literally a couple of weeks ago, but his ability to be locked in on every possession, and it was like I was sitting there, I was watching him, and he would communicate to his bench and players when they come out about parts that they talked about in their scout, and then that's exactly where it was. And something that Luke Brennan does a lot is he claps when the other team scores to acknowledge that they had followed the scout, and so there was almost they were picking what was going to beat them, and they're picking that poison. And he was like, no, we actually did the principles that we were asking our players to do. And even though they scored, that's fine, but we did what we wanted to do. So, and that led into a firecracker of a Saturday night.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Warwick Senators were excellent in that game.
There's three things I took out of Saturday night, and we'll talk about the Rockingham Flames in a minute. But there's three things after. And I watched that game as well. Popped down there, jumped down on the Forest Highway. Number one, George Pell is the real deal. 20 points, 8 of 12, 3 of 5. He was the only one in their starters with a plus-minus in the positive. He was plus 5, and he was huge for them. And the reason why I think he's huge for him is because, as I chatted about before, coaches will pick their poison. What's going to beat us? Beat what you don't know rather than what you do. And they chose, we're not going to let Caleb Davis maybe shoot the three ball on us. We're not going to let Brian Michaels sort of get on a tear coming off those sort of stagger screens on Majuk back to the basket. But if there's someone who's going to beat us, it's going to be George Pell. They gave him the opportunities. They gave him 12 shots and he hit 8 of them. I thought that was number one that I took out of it. Number two I took out of it is that the Rockingham Flames put on an outstanding game night presentation. Mm-hmm. I've been to a couple of their games, and we've talked about Joondalup, we've talked about things, but almost most improved over the 3-year period is their ability to put on a game night presentation. And I thought it was fantastic, and the people in the city of Rockingham would get to enjoy that. And people from the community, not just connected to the basketball, are going to watch them play, which I think is fantastic. So well done to them. Hashtag flame on is their little thing they say. The last thing I say is this, is in the second quarter, so Rockingham got an early lead, and then Warwick brought it back. And then in the third quarter, with 4 minutes remaining, none other than the MVP showed us why he is a class above and on a shelf higher than anyone else in LA. He went 3 for 3. He knocked down 3 triples with a hand in his face right then. Mm-hmm. It was out of their structures, but then he sort of went ISO, took it upon himself, and he knocked down 3 triples in that second quarter at that 4-minute mark, which just gave him some breathing space going into halftime. Coach Brennan had to call another timeout for that. In the third quarter, he got his fourth personal foul with 6 minutes remaining in the third quarter. He went to the bench. He came back in the fourth, and the attention that he draws. And I said this about a month ago on the radio show. If you have the best coach in the league in Ryan Petrie, and you have the best player in the league, it doesn't matter who else you've got. Those two are going to be the reason why they're going to win on Saturday night.
Yeah, that's certainly... Certainly will go a long way, and it's the reason they won that semi-final. The preliminary final matchup. The semi-final you were at, though, was a beauty as well. You know, it comes down to the last possession, Goldfields attempt the tip in. It seemed like forever that ball was hanging around the hoop, and none of them dropped. And you know, unfortunately for them, it didn't quite happen. And the Wolves progress, and they go up to the Bucks on Sunday, and the Bucks do what the Bucks do, and that's win big at Active West Stadium.
Yeah, and the commiserations for the Goldfields Giants. They're probably impacted by injury a fair bit with their travel throughout the season. But look, they come out a bit sort of quiet in that first quarter, but then in the second quarter and the third quarter, two quarters in a row, they held the Joondalup Wolves on their home floor to 13 points. So 13 points in the second quarter, 13 points in the third quarter, and they set themselves up for the victory. They were talking about a team that has Pasava, Wade, and Turnage, and you held them to 13 points in one quarter. But then to do it again, and Jesse Gee was really on a tear. He was killing it. But then in that fourth quarter, they started to get some dribble penetration again. Pasava hit some big shots. Turnage hit some big shots. And again, it got down to that last 3 minutes. We were talking about that arm wrestle of a two-possession game, 3 minutes to go. And they were in that. The Wool shots dropped. The Goldfields Giants didn't. And, of course, that last possession you talked about where they're literally tipping it. They had three good opportunities to complete it. Unfortunately, they couldn't. But it's a great season for the Goldfields Giants. It's a really good bounce-back season. And I've said it on every call, and I'll say it again. Our regional teams, when they're doing well, it's great for our league. Again, to win one final, then to go again against the Junior Love Wolves. But for the Junior Love Wolves, and I sat there in that the press conference that they run for the Junior Love Wolves post-game, Coach Brill, you could see it on his face. He's like, geez, man, the task only just gets bigger. They jumped on a bus the next morning. They headed up the Great Northern Highway, and well, they ran into a rested, red-hot Geraldton Buccaneers.
Yeah, and as so many teams have this year, I guess they got their lunch handed to them a little bit, the Junior Love Wolves, which is no disrespect to them, but, you know, it's just what the Buccaneers have done. And you know, if it's not Cameron Coleman doing the damage on the scoreboard and defensively, it's Sean Stewart. And, you know, you can go sort of on and on down the list from there. You know, they get contributions from their bench, you know. They're just this complete unit that that seems to be able to dismantle teams. And I guess the test will come as to whether they can come down the highway and do it at Bendat Basketball Centre on Saturday.
Well, I'm not sure whether Cam Coleman winning the Defensive Player of the Year or chatting to us on the NBL One West Radio Show has been good for his scoring, because since then he's been on a scoring tear pretty much. 27 points in his most recent game, 6 of 11 from downtown. He's certainly showing that he can play both ends without any doubt.
39 points in the qualifying final as well. An unbelievable pair of finals games, and he'll look to bring that to Bendat against the Rockingham Flames on Saturday.
We'll be back on the other side of this. We've got four big interviews yet to get through in this week's edition of the show. Ryan Godfrey from the Rockingham Flames will speak to us next on the NBL One West Radio Show. 2-0-1-5.
Yeah, it feels so good. The all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
Brett Costello, Jordan Scardetta and Ben Pether with you. And as promised, we're now on the line from the captain down there at the Rockingham Flames. Ryan Godfrey, welcome along to the NBL One West Radio Show.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thanks for having me.
We spoke to Devondrick Walker last week, and it was a big game on the weekend just been. And Devondrick Walker seemed to be the difference maker.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you have a guy of that calibre on your team, he's certainly going to be a point of difference in week out. And I mean, especially down the stretch there late against Warwick, he was obviously made a couple of decent buckets down the stretch. So, big-time player and a big-time moment.
A handy late inclusion, Marty Nelson, of course, back from overseas. When did you guys get that news?
Oh, geez. I think it was pretty late. It might have been the Wednesday night at training potentially even the Thursday. Obviously, Marty's ride with that national team was kind of a week-to-week basis.
Ryan, interesting to see, like Brett mentioned Marty Nelson back on the weekend, that Ryan Petrick went with the same starting five. I know there's obviously a bit of fatigue factor in there for Marty, but he'd usually be a walk-up start. Like, how much has the last month and a bit that he hasn't been there shaped the faith that Ryan Petrick has in the rest of the squad, or has that kind of always been there?
Obviously Marty's missed a fair bit of time, to be honest. And we've had to change a number of things without him. And obviously the unknown of when he was going to come back, if he was going to come back. We kind of just obviously had to mix things up and play to the strengths that we currently had in our team. And I think we were riding into the weekend. It was a 7-game winning streak. Obviously our offensive efficient numbers were just as good as when Marty was there, and our defensive numbers have gone up. So, without Marty obviously training and going through the complete playbook, it just kind of made sense to roll with the guys that we've got. And I don't know, to be fair, we're probably one of the deepest teams in the league. I mean, you think about maybe our first eight guys are probably starters on most NBL One teams. So it's also got to factor that into the situation as well.
Looking ahead to this weekend, obviously there's a few different factors at play. Like, how do you feel that you guys match up against the Buccaneers, who you'll be meeting, obviously having seen them a couple of times this year?
There's going to be matchups all around the court, and the one that obviously comes to mind is the Devondrick Walker and Coleman matchup. That's certainly going to be obviously a show for the fans, because just two incredible players. Everywhere you look around the court, it seems it's pretty even across the board, and yeah, just can't help but I think fans are going to be in awe of the type of game it's going to be on the weekend. I mean, there's a reason why Gero's been on top. They've just been consistent all season long, and you know, they're going to be tough to beat.
Ryan Godfrey, Ben Peth here. First of all, congratulations on the season, mate. And you touched on it just before with Jordan's question about the fans. And I, on Saturday night, made the trip down to Mike Barnett. And I remember maybe less than 6-7 years ago, and the experience I had being down there for a home game for Rockingham and seeing it and how it is now. It's just phenomenal. It's actually an entertainment showcase. For you, as a Rockingham junior, how exciting is it for you to play in that environment and then, of course, make it to the final game 2 years in a row?
Oh, mate, the club's done an unbelievable job. And obviously all the volunteers in that process to get it to where it is now, it's just big time. Just to see what we put on week in, week out. And I mean, I think about all the kids out there and the families that get to experience it. It's just a place like no other. So it's just absolutely fantastic.
Looking at the list of the names of the guys you got on your team, Beards, like yourself, the Godfrey. But then there's one name in particular who is a real household Rockingham name, and that's Petrick. Ryan Petrick, your coach, he's gone off. He's won a Coach of the Year in the WNBL. He's won multiple championships for your women's program. It can't be understated, and I guess it's within the four walls, how much he loves the Rockingham club and how much a championship on Saturday would mean for him.
Oh, mate, geez. Even talk with Petrick in seasons past, I mean, since he's taken a job, just the amount of conversations we have, it's everything we've done, every single conversation, every little bit of detail on court, even it goes all the way to the guys that we bring in every season. It's just with the championship on our mind. And just to the finest detail of spending time on weekends, getting scout ready and film review. I mean, the guy just puts in an unbelievable amount of time and effort. It just showcases in our trainings and in our preparation. And to obviously get to this point to, you know, give ourselves the opportunity, but also our coaching staff and obviously Ryan being the head coach. It'd just be an unbelievable feeling to be able to do it for him, but also for the club.
There were some of your former stars in the crowd on Saturday night. We saw the likes of Carlin Hughes, Travis Moore. Flashback 12 months ago, you had a busy week in the lead-up. My understanding was that you got engaged. What will this week's lead-up look like for you? And will it be just process as normal? What will your Saturday look like leading up to the game?
Oh, mate, as you know, probably being a teacher is probably recovering from all the excursions throughout the week. Obviously, just trying to get my normal routines in terms of trying to get a workout in, get to the team training sessions. Friday's probably just starting with a bit of a breakfast and then just take the day as it comes. But been in it, huge amount of years now, that it's just another day and another game, and that's how I treated the finals process. So Saturday won't be any different.
Before we wind up, just one to leave you on. Obviously, runners-up last season. How does that motivate the group and give you that extra push to take the final step towards the championship this year?
That's the only reason why I guess a few of us are still playing, and the reason why we bring, you know, the group together. It's the reason why coaching staff are involved. It's the reason why the club put in the huge amount of effort to get the guys on court is to win our first championship. And obviously last year, taking the loss like we did, it was a massive learning curve, and especially for a lot of our younger guys. Obviously learnt from the experience, and, you know, it just plays on our mind for this entire year. And I mean, to give ourselves the opportunity to run it back, I'm sure we're going to make the most of it.
Ryan Godfrey, captain there at the Rockingham Flames, participating in the grand final this Saturday night down there at Bendat Basketball Centre. Best of luck, and thanks for getting involved in the NBL One West radio show.
No worries, guys. Thanks for having us on.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West.
Your health and welfare are important. At SKG Radiology, we know this. Take advantage of bulk billing all Medicare rebatable services across our WA practices. Some exceptions may apply, so please ask our friendly staff for more details. From x-rays to ultrasounds, low-dose CT scans and MRIs, no matter where you're referred to, when you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology. Visit skg.com.au.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
This is the all-new NBL One West radio show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. Check the NBL One West radio show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic.
Welcome back, NBL One West radio show. Brett Jordan and Ben with you on the line this time from the Warwick Senators as they prepare for the grand final this weekend. We've got Leonie Fibich. Welcome along to the show.
Hi.
Thanks very much for taking the time to speak with us. Your first time in Australia and already into the grand final. It's been quite a whirlwind for you.
Yeah, it's been awesome. I'm loving it, and obviously it's really cool to actually make it to the grand final, and yeah, no, it's been great.
You came over mid-season, Leonie. Firstly, congratulations on the season you're having so far. You came over mid-season. What was the, I guess, the sales pitch to you? I know there was a connection there already with the Warwick Senators through your playing times. What was the pitch, and I guess what got you across the line to come over to Australia to play?
So I've always heard a lot of good stuff about the league and Australia in general, and I've always wanted to come. And then my former coach or current national team coach, she is a good friend of Janelle. And so they just got into contact, and then that went really well. And then Janelle contacted me, and then it was just a matter of, you know, getting the formal stuff out of the way. And then it was an easy go for me.
Had you spent some time playing with or against Nat Burton or something? We'd heard there was a connection with her time in Europe as well.
Oh, yeah, I did. When I played in Germany, my first professional years, she was playing for a team in Germany as well. And I think we played against each other like two or three times. So I knew her as well, yeah.
Now, Ben Pether is possibly the biggest Warwick Senators fan of all time, and also of you. And he had a famous prediction on our show that you guys were going undefeated towards the back end of the season. And we've spoken with Janelle Morley about this as well, so I want Ben to chime in.
Oh, yeah. Leonie Fibich, Ben Pether here. Congratulations on making the grand final. Now, I got some inside word that you were joining the Warwick Senators, and I made the bold prediction way back in the middle of June that on that doubleheader weekend when you guys played the East Perth Eagles two nights in a row, I don't know if you remember, that would have been a bit weird, that scheduling, because of the fire there. But since that time, you guys have gone undefeated. What is it about playing with the Warwick Senators that more makes basketball enjoyable for you? Because obviously you've had the international experience, you've been involved in the US, but out here in Australia, what have you enjoyed about being a part of the Warwick Senators Association?
So I have to say that the club and the team especially, they've been really welcoming to me, and they made it really easy for me to fit in. And the basketball here is a bit different than what I'm used to. It's a lot more run and gun. It's going out there and playing, not so much structure, and I'm enjoying that. And I think what makes it really enjoyable is this group I play with. The team is awesome. We have a lot of experienced players, and we get along really well off the court. And I think that carries over on the court, and I think you can really see that in games. And yeah, so it's been awesome that we were able to go through the season without a loss since I'm here. So really proud of that.
And of course, for yourself, you've represented the German national team both as a junior and as a senior. Your basketball career is just beginning. Where is it that you are looking to maybe in the next 12, 18 months? Is the idea to go back to Europe and play as their season's about to get started, or would you be keen to come back and be involved here playing Australia again?
So I will be playing in Spain for the next European season, so I'll probably head there right after the season. And then that's always a really long season, but after that, I don't have any plans yet, and I'm really keen to come back, but I haven't really put any thought into that yet.
You've got an MVP on your team of the season, Leonie, in Stacey Barr. She's obviously just been lights out through this final series. What is it about her that makes opposition teams seemingly unable to contain her influence?
Yeah, Stacey Barr, what can I say? what people see is that she is a two-time MVP. She's the leading scorer of the league, et cetera. But what I see is that she goes out there and every game, it doesn't matter if we play the first or the last place team, she always goes out there and gives 100%. And she always hustles and wrestles and gets these loose balls and never gives up. It's so competitive. And that's what I really like to see. And I'm really happy that she's on my team. But you also have to see, like, we always speak about players on the court, but off the court, she's a great teammate. She cares a lot about her teammates, and it's just a really good person.
Finally, as we turn our eyes towards the weekend, obviously the grand final down there at Bendat Basketball Centre. Presumably, you've been in some similar finals experiences throughout your career as well.
I actually won a European Championship with the national team, and obviously played some finals in Germany as well. So, but it's always exciting. Like playing a grand final is what makes this really enjoyable, and that's why I love basketball.
Well, the Willetton Tigers are the defending champions. They were probably somewhat underperforming throughout the season, but seem to be hitting the straps at the right time. What have you got your eyes on to be aware of with Willetton when you come to face them on the weekend?
I think they're a really good team, and the fact that we faced them in the first finals game and we beat them, and they, won the last two games and are now versing us again in the final, shows that they really want it, but so do we. And I think we're ready. I think it's a great matchup, and it's going to be a really good game to watch.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Leonie Fibich from the Warwick Senators. Good luck in the grand final there on Friday night at Bendat.
Thank you, and thanks for having me.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West.
Let's get this thing started.
The all-new NBL One West radio show.
On the line now, representing the Willetton Tigers ahead of the grand final on Friday night, we've got Melissa Marsh. She's the all-time games record holder in the WNBL for the Perth Lynx and their various incarnations, and also recently entered into the BWA Hall of Fame as well, assistant coach down there at the Willetton Tigers. Welcome along, Melissa Marsh.
Thanks very much for having me, guys.
That was quite a long intro, but I managed to smash it out. Very well accomplished.
<It was. laughs>
And doing some big things there now in the assistant coaching role there with Willetton. Also, defending champs, a bit of pressure in season 2022. How has the ride been?
Yeah, it's been good. Like, obviously, finishing, I think, fourth towards the back end of the season. But, yeah, we've enjoyed it and we've learned a lot. Obviously, winning last year was amazing, and we kept our core group of players, which was great. And we had Taylor Hepburn came across. We also had a young girl, Imogen, that came back from college and had a year off. And then, yeah, we were able to, really steady that ship throughout the year and, got tested towards the back end coming into finals, which is good, was what we wanted. And, had some really tough losses there leading into the finals. So, we were able to really, go through our video sessions and, nut things out. And, yeah, I think that was helpful in terms of getting us through to that grand final.
Melissa, Jordan Scudetta here. Well done on the season so far and all the accolades that you've received yourself personally throughout the year. No doubt we'll get to those in a moment. But I want to touch on, you talked about the road to the grand final. I want to touch on the weekend. And, we look at Thursday night and you see it's, the usual suspects, Alex Sharp, doing quite well. And there's contributions across the board. Emma Gandini has a huge night in that game. But, a player that steps up when called upon that I want to touch on is Sophie Doran, 21 years of age, always been kind of a bench player. Steps in and has a big influence on that game, and then also on Saturday night as well, playing over half an hour in each game, putting up double digits in points and getting herself involved in the game. How satisfying is that from a coaching perspective to see a player who's been a role player throughout the year step into a starting five and have an impact?
Yeah, I'm so happy for Sophie. She broke my heart last year in the grand final when we just struggled to get her in, and it was no fault of her own. It was just the way that the game went. It was one of the hardest things I've actually ever had to do coaching, was just see the look in her eyes and how much hurt, we'd caused there by not getting in. And to see her, she went away in the off season and she, just took it on the chin. And we gave her some pretty firm feedback at our end of year meeting last year about, getting a shot right, going away and learning more about the game and getting her basketball IQ up as a point guard. And obviously, she's only 21. She's still working that out, and that's going to take a few years. She's very, very lucky that she's coming in behind Hayley Windsor, who's one of the smartest basketballers I've ever, played with, or coached, I should say. And so, for me, for Dora to get this opportunity is just amazing. And she really stepped up for us both Thursday and Saturday. Just so happy for her. She really deserves it.
The loss in week one to Warwick in the qualifying final, given the back half of the year that you'd had, where it had been, indifferent form through the last month and a half of the season, like that could have been a backbreaker, you know, going down, going up to Warwick and then going down, you know, despite giving it absolutely everything and getting close to them. What was the turnaround that led to the two results on the weekend? And what do you take from that first week against Warwick into playing them again this weekend?
Yeah, I think sort of that's the beauty of finishing the top four, is we knew that we had a second chance. And, you know, I mean, obviously Stirling finished top of the ladder. They've got some amazing players. So, you know, we knew we wanted to throw everything at them, which we did. And we just couldn't get over the line. But, you know, for us, the feedback was, okay, you know, we've got two games and let's meet them in the grand final. And, you know, that's exactly what we've done. You can't really focus in a quarter final. You can't worry too much about the loss. You really just need to, you know, bang, it happened. Let's move on. What have we got next? And that was our mentality, was, you know, we couldn't fault the girls' work ethic. You know, we've never faulted their work ethic. You know, obviously Stacey Barr, a couple of their main players got off, and they're hard to defend. So, you know, that message pretty quickly was, yes, we'll look at the game tape. This is what we need to do now to take on our next opponent. And obviously that was Coburn. We lost to them prior to the last game of the season. Again, like a team that's, you know, come a long way under Ty. They've got some great players. They're exciting. You know, coming up against Jessie Edwards, she seems to score, you know, 25 points and above every time we play her. So, you know, that in itself was a big game. And to get over the line the way that we did with them was amazing. It was such a great game. High scoring, you know, and to play at our home crowd in front of people, you know, in front of our supporters was awesome.
Melissa Marsh, Ben Pether here. First of all, congratulations on the induction into the Hall of Fame earlier this month. And one thing I love about the Willetton Basketball Association is the players who play for them, and then they hang around and they coach and they're involved, and then they have kids and then they're involved as well. And you see that with the likes of Kelly, Williams, Winter, some of the names on your team. But one person in particular I want to talk about is Simon Parker. He played for the men's side. He coached the men's team to a grand final, and now he's won multiple championships with the women's side. He's been there for a number of years as a head coach. What do you see as his assistant that we don't get to see? But he has a cool, calm temperament on the sidelines. But it seems like he's invested so much into this group. And what do you get to see that we don't get to see inside the four walls?
You know, Ben, you just nailed it when you said, like, he has invested. And Simon, you know, I have watched him for, you know, 2 years now. It was 2016 when I was, I just had my little girl Maddie, so I was pregnant for nearly the whole season, where we won, and then obviously the last 2 years. And, you know, people don't understand, and certainly I didn't understand when I played, was how much time coaches put into coaching. You know, he invests so much and he believes in these players. You know, he's so passionate about the game. He's always, you know, I've never known, I don't know if it's all coaches, I'm not sure, but he watches game tape. You know, after every game, this is the thing that people don't know about Simon. After every game, he'll go home most nights or first thing the next day. He's watched game tape. Him and Michael Winter, they cut game tape. So by the time we've got to training on Monday, we've got, you know, game tape cut up from what we did wrong, what we need to work on. And you know, throughout the week, him and Michael will cut tape again on huddle and all that to, you know, prepare for everyone. And, you know, the scouting that they do. And, you know, I'm so proud of Simon. You know, like I said, I've sat and watched him develop over the last 2 years. He's continually wanting to learn about the game. He's evolving his own game, and he just cares. You know, he cares so much about the club. He's passionate. He comes down to, you know, I call it D-League. I think it's Championship. I forget, the changes every year, but he comes down on Sundays. You know, I coach the girls this year, and, you know, he's constantly providing me with feedback. He truly deserves this success as much as the players, because he puts in so much time and, you know, like I said, he has a real passion for the basketball club. There's not many coaches in the league that you can say what you just said, how we play. He's coached the men, he's coached the women. He's sat on committees, he's a life member. There's so many things that he's done, not just as a head coach of our program, but for many, many years at this club. And like I said, he really deserves the success, because he's, you know, he is great.
To add to those accolades for Simon and the Willetton Tigers organisation, looking to go back-to-back this Friday night. Yourself were part of a three-peat with the likes of Kate Malpass, Zoe Harper, Ebony Antonio, just some of the names that come to mind now. With this group come Friday night, it's one thing that sticks out to me is that majority of the girls are Willetton juniors, and that must mean something to the group.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have a very successful club. We produce a lot of great juniors. We have a big area. that, you know, we can choose from. I love the fact, I mean, Des and, you know, when I was playing, they sat on the bench. They sat on the bench till they were in their early 20s, and they just, a bit like Adora, you know, they had opportunity. They didn't get on the court in the grand finals, or if they did, it was for 1 minute. And to see those girls come through, obviously we've had Alex and Sam, but we've had them now for 2 years. We've got Hayley Winter. I mean, the Winter family, Robin played. She was my coach when we won. Michael coaches, and, you know, now we've got Hayley. So to see all these juniors coming through, and then you look on our bench, you know, we've got some of the most exciting juniors coming through. The team that, the Divi 1 team that I coach this year, I mean, it's amazing. Like, I just was in awe of what these girls can do. And, yeah, it's really exciting. And the fact that we've got such a great program and club, you know, it's put us in good stead. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to the game. It's going to be exciting. So we'll wait and see what happens.
Melissa Marsh, assistant there at the Willerton Tigers. Good luck for your grand final match up against the Warwick Senators Friday night there at Bendat.
Thanks very much, guys. Thank you.
All the local basketball action, roundups and reviews from the NBL One West.
2-0-1-5. Yeah, it's so good.
The all-new NBL One West radio show.
Welcome back, NBL One West radio show. The last of our four interviews in this week's edition. Now from the Geraldton Buccaneers, we've got Mattiang Muo. Thanks very much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Well, it's going to be a big, big night down there Saturday at the Bendat Basketball Centre. The Geraldton Buccaneers versus the Rockingham Flames. You guys have won a few years ago. You had a bit of a down season, it's probably fair to say, last year. This year has been absolutely fantastic, certainly from a Metro point of view. From what the Buccaneers have achieved, you've almost flown a little bit under the radar, and that may be a little bit of a tyranny of distance. How has this squad been different to what you had last year, and all the success that you've had out of that?
Well, with this squad, I mean, the front office did a good job going out and recruit good players. Players that can do it all, a two-way player, a good point guard. We got bigs that have been around and been legend of this club. And, you know, we just went out and got good players that can play well together and compete. And that's the difference between this year and last year.
Mattiang, Jordan Scudetta, congratulations on making it to the grand final and your season so far. I guess Brett sort of touched on it, that from our perspective down here in Perth, you can kind of fly under the radar a touch just because it's so far away. One of the great stories that, I guess, flew completely under the radar from my perspective until the awards night a couple of weeks ago was Liam Hunt and his return to playing basketball. Run us through what that's been like, you know, being, you know, a teammate of his and seeing his recovery from that injury and making his way back into being a player in this squad.
I mean, first of all, for him to recover and make it back to be playing this year, that's an incredible achievement. And throughout the whole year, we told him, like, yo, just take it easy, do whatever you can. We got your back until when we get to the finals or the end of the season. But as long as you can do what you can, we're happy because, you know, you can bring a lot to the table, even though you're just making your way back from the injury. But for him to fight through what he'd been through, and still playing this year, I mean, this time of the year, it's incredible. And it's a great teammate, of course. Great teammates.
Mattiang, Ben Pether here. First of all, congratulations with your win last night up there at the 2 p.m. clash against the Joondalup Wolves. I, last year, called the game that you guys played against the Joondalup Wolves in the last round of the season. It was a dead rubber. You guys played on a Saturday afternoon in the last fixture of the season before the NBL won West Awards. 12 months later, you guys are playing the Joondalup Wolves in a preliminary final, the winner to go into the grand final. You guys will be playing in our last Saturday. How different was last season to this season, just in your experience? And obviously, you were there for the ride from last year to this year. They brought in the likes of Stewart and Cam Coleman. But for you yourself, to see those two experiences, how was that for you?
It's great. I mean, like, last year was a struggle, obviously, but, you know, we improved a lot last year with all the young guys and whoever we had on team last year. We improved a lot, and this year with the addition of Cam and Sean made our team even stronger. And, of course, Malik. And so we were much stronger than last year. For us to play them again this year in the semifinals and actually beat them, I mean, we can't be more happy than that. So
And of course, for yourself, you played in some of the big cities or the big towns when it comes to our state basketball leagues or our NBL 1 conferences around the league. You played for the Hobart Chargers. You played for the Bendigo Braves. You played for the Kalgoorlie Giants. And of course, now you get to play for the Geraldton Buccaneers. Now, I want to take back your time for the Hobart Chargers. When it comes to big games, it was none other than a big game performance from yourself where you had 20 points and 14 rebounds when you defeated the Nutter Warning Spectres in the grand final. You were the MVP back then in 2017. Are we going to have a big performance come Saturday night at Bendap Basketball?
I mean, anybody can go off this Saturday. From our team or from their team, I don't know. But so I got a great teammates that can, you know, can support me or I can support them. So whoever is hot on Saturday, you know, we'll ride the wave with them. So it can't be one person; it can't be anybody on that team.
Speaking of that team that that you're touching on, like, I guess take us inside what the chemistry in that team is like, because from afar it looks like you guys have got Sean Stewart, you've got Cameron Coleman, who've been brought into this team to really boost it, but I guess everything that I see from, you know, the side of the team that's promoted, it's all about, you know, your local guys, you guys like Clayton Parfitt, you guys like, you know, Johnny Narkle, who's sixth man of the year, those kind of guys that, you know, it's, yes, there's some really good players coming in, but there's a great local feel to it. What's the, you know, the feeling around the team like?
I mean, we all get along pretty well. I mean, there was a lot of struggle in the beginning of the season where we just, you know, bump heads with one another, but it was trying to compete and trying to make each other better. But in the process, we, you know, we got along well, and then we play well together, and we just got a love for one another. And the most important, we want to win. So it made guys like Johnny Knuckles to step it up, and all the local kids to step it up at practice and games. So it's just a competitive nature that we all have.
And Matty Yang, so this Saturday night, 7:30 tip off at Bendap Basketball. What does your week look like, and when does the Geraldton Buccaneers jump on the bus, head south for the game? Is that happening Friday or is that happening Thursday? When is that happening for you guys, and what does the next few days look like?
Well, the week is the same as the usual has always been, regular practice and usual stuff, but we probably leave on Friday to head down to Perth. But everything else is the usual, practice, do whatever, the same routine we've been doing the whole year. Nothing changes. Same thing.
And for you personally, is there anything that you do? Is it like toast with butter or Eddie with some honey or
pre-game ritual?
PBJ sandwich, anything that you hit up pre-game that you'll be chasing around come Saturday?
Nope. Just go get some shots up, be ready to go. Dress up and be ready to go. And go have fun. Most important is just to have fun out there.
Have fun. Well, I'll be having fun calling the game on Saturday night. You're an absolute class actor. Really enjoyed your career, and it's great having you in the State Basketball League.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you once again to Matthew Muo from the Geraldton Buccaneers, who will be participating in that big grand final there on Saturday night at the Bendap Basketball Centre. Best of luck to you.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for your time. We'll be back on the other side of this to wind things up on the NBL One West Radio Show.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
This is the all-new NBL One West radio show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. Check the NBL One West radio show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic.
Winding things up here on the NBL One West radio show, it's our grand final edition. Time for our grand finals breakdowns and predictions. Let's, of course, start on the Friday night. The women down there at Bendap Basketball Centre, the Willetton Tigers, the defending champs, will face off against the Warwick Senators. Boys, how are you seeing this one?
Yeah, this is all of a sudden a tough one. Like, if you had said 2 weeks ago that it's going to be these two teams, I would have said, you know, put your glasses down, it's Warwick without a question. And, you know, maybe there's a touch of that in there just because, like, their body of work over the second, you know, the two-thirds of the season that they've gone unbeaten is hard to deny. But, you know, the way Willetton won their two games across the weekend just gives you cause for pause, you know, to kind of think, well, is it possible that they go back-to-back? You know, there's all the intangibles. Have they been there before? You know, they know exactly what this stage is, this Friday night NBL One West stage. They were the inaugural NBL One West Women's Champions last year, you know, and they've got the quality throughout their lineup to go back and do it again. Look,
it's one game after all, isn't it?
That's it. You know, it's not a series. It's one game. You know, that they just have to all of a sudden. You know, their shooters start shooting well, and you know they play defensively well enough to restrict the likes of Stacey Barr from hitting the score sheet. You know, I guess that's where they win this game. They've played three times this year. The Senators and the Tigers, and Senators have gone 2-1. Willetton won the first matchup way back in May.
That
was the last game that they lost. That the Warwick Senators lost. So, you know, and I watched the game in round. Well, I watched both of their recent matchups, the qualifying final and the round 14 matchup. And like round 14 at Willetton, the only thing that stopped Willetton from winning that game, because it was 76-67 to Warwick, and the only thing that stopped Willetton winning that game was their shooting. They created a lot more chances in that game, shot the ball really poorly in that game, the Tigers, and you know, just couldn't hit anything in that one, and you know, still were that close, you know, to knocking off a team that hadn't been beaten in a couple of months at that point. And you know, they played so well defensively and were able to restrict Warwick to 76, which is no mean feat in itself. You know, only letting Stacey Barr and co score 76 points in total is an outstanding effort. And look, you know, there's enough there, enough in that performance and in their qualifying final performance that it makes me think they can challenge. But you know, I'd love to get your thoughts on whether Warwick are going to be beatable on Friday night.
I also want to know if Ben feels emotional about the possible prediction being broken on the weekend as well, if the Senators can't get the job done.
Well, on the 7th of May was the last time the Warwick Senators lost, 81-76, on their home floor against the Willetton Tigers. They've gone 18 in a row since then, 12 in a row since I made the prediction after the double-double header against the East Perth Eagles, and they've added Leonie Fibich. This is what I think is the key for the Willetton Tigers to beat them, is their ability to disrupt the offense enough for Tanel Morley to have to go deeper in her bench than the six players that she's rotating right now. So right now they're bringing Nicole Jordis and Jor off the bench. Sometimes they go with Alyssa Duncan off the bench as well. That's probably the seventh player that they'll bring in. But for me, personally, I feel like if they can get a disruption, if there could be a disruption, and I feel like the Willetton Tigers have it. When you have Emma Gandini, you have Sophie Doran, and you have Alex Sharp, in particular on the defensive end, and Des Kelly's really handy on the defensive end as well. With those four players really specifically causing that disruption, take them out of their stuff. We saw it 2 weekends ago in the qualifying final, but it's that disruption. Mm-hmm. That's the key for them. Can they disrupt their offense enough for them to go multiple stops to get a timeout? And then once they get that timeout, that still's not enough, and they have to go on a run and they have to make a sub. And once they go deeper into their bench, if they can go deeper into their bench, that's number one. The second thing I feel for the Willetton Tigers, for them to be able to get the win, is for them to be able to get multiple contributions out of their role players. So we know Alex Sharp's going to rock up, and we know Des Kelly are going to rock up, and both of them will probably likely go for 20. Okay, but from an offensive point of view, will they get minimum 15 points out of Emma Gandini? Will they get a minimum 15 points out of Sam Lubke? And will they get like an 11-8 or like a 12-6 out of Taylor Hepburn? So those players, what will they get out of those guys? And if they could get, they could disrupt the Warwick offense enough to get a timeout and then get them to go into their bench. And if they can get multiple contributions from the Willetton Tigers, and then as I always say, 3 minutes left, two possession game. If it's 3 minutes left, two possession game, I'm backing the Willetton Tigers. They got Alex Sharp. We saw her against the Junior Wolves. She just absolutely was on a tear. Literally catch, dribble, mid-range. Three-pointer, got to the hoop. So two-possession game, 3 minutes to go. I've got the Willetton Tigers. But if they can't get it to that scenario, I think the Warwick Senators continue.
Who have you got? We're going to go a...
Well, I said to you, if it's two-possession game with 3 minutes to go,
I feel like
I've got the Willetton Tigers.
No, I feel like that too. I was going to call you out.
I feel like he's hedging.
Well, you already know who I think's going to win.
Yeah, this is the same.
Okay, so you're going to stick with
it. I said this back on May 7th, who was going to win. I think the grand final MVP will be Stacey Barr if they win. But two possessions, 3 minutes to go. Mm-hmm. I think Alex Sharp goes back-to-back grand final MVPs.
Okay, who you got then, Jordan?
So I think Warwick's body of work is too hard to deny. You know, yes, if they go deep into the bench, that's one of the variables that can go, you know, the Tigers' way. But I feel like Warwick over the last 4 months has been undeniably the best team. you know, we've seen in this competition. I think they only win by a couple of possessions, though. I've got them as winning by four. I think they can pull out the tight one, and they'll win that one. And I've got Leonie Fibich as my MVP. You know, one of those that does the grunt work in the finals. It's not always the big scorer that gets the MVP in a grand final. You know, if you can post a double double, which Leonie Fibich has been an absolute machine at since she's come into the league. You know, if she puts a, you know, 18, 20 point double double up, I think that's enough to be grand final MVP.
Well, I thought you would say that, so I've gone different just to put a cat amongst the pigeons. So I'm going to back the Willetton Tigers to continue their hot form and good shooting streak. Des Kelly's going to help me out with the MVP and plenty of three
great
pointers
call.
On the night. So
great
Tigers
call.
By five. So
yeah, she's awesome, man. Look, sneaky chance Emma Gandini. She locks down Stacey Barr and has 23 of her own. She's a sneaky dark horse for MVP.
All right, well, let's turn our eyes to the men's then. The Buccaneers will travel down to the Bendat Basketball Centre. The Rockingham Flames will travel up to the Bendat Basketball Centre. They'll meet somewhat in the middle, and it's going to be the Buccaneers versus the Flames. What are you seeing out of this one, guys? Two very worthy winners, very deserving teams have had great seasons.
Yeah, when you go one versus two into the grand final, That's what I guess you want to see from a regular season to final standpoint. It's first versus second, two teams that have been undeniably great throughout this season. You know, Marshall Nelson will be better for having a whole week back in Perth. I don't think he arrived in Perth until Thursday night from Europe and had been away for some time. So it was very jet lagged on Saturday, which is why his numbers were very much down by his standards on Saturday night just gone. So expect him to be primed and ready for Saturday night. And yeah, Ben, I'm having a hard time separating this one. They've only played once this year, and that was all the way back in round six at Active West Stadium, and it was a one possession game. So I think that tells us absolutely nothing about how these two teams are going to match up this weekend.
No Tom Jervis on that night.
Up in Geraldton. Okay, that makes
true.
Sense.
He didn't make that road trip up, so that's true. Another intriguing part of this matchup is the MVP versus the Defensive Player of the Year as well.
Yeah, Coleman versus Walker. That's going to be a big one too. You're right. How those two match up against each other, and we heard Ryan Godfrey touch on it. That's going to be the matchup to watch, and it'll be fascinating to see who comes out on top.
Now, Ben's certainly scrawling plenty of notes there, so I know you've got something good for us there, Ben.
Oh, no, I was just writing some stuff down that I was thinking about through it. So, touching down, and Jordan, I agree with you some of your points there. My thing is that you've got two teams that took two completely different paths to this. You got the Geraldton Buccaneers, 22 games played, 19 wins, 3 losses. And they only lost once on their home floor. It was a Sunday morning, 10 a.m. clash against the Perry Lakes Hawks, who were literally do or die with their season. They've had minimal impact with injuries. They've had minimal COVID interruptions for their season, and they almost have taken like a 2006 Lakeside Lightning Andy Stewart era about their team that they put on the floor. Is they've got two really, really solid imports, which I might have mentioned this before. They've got super, super strong imports, and then they've got some local talent in the likes of Matty Wandenberg, Malik Mounier, who they brought across, but some Australians. Matiang Muo has been really made a huge contribution for them, but their team from the start to the finish has missed the least amount of games, I feel like, from where they started to where they finished, the amount of consistency in their lineup. And it's probably similar to what we'd see in like the late 2000s, where like with an Andy Stewart lineup, when he would bring in, they would have their two strong imports, they'd have Jared Prue, and then they'd have some role players, talent to really get them there. While we look at the Rockingham Flames, they've had huge outs. They've had Greg Heyer, who's gone over, represented Australia. He's had some injury, but he won a silver medal with the Commonwealth Games. They've had Tom Jervis in and out of lineup with the away games and a little bit of injury. They've had Marshall Nelson, who's been away with Belgium, and then he's come back. Someone we forget about a lot is Justin Beard, who's had osteitis pubis. He's come back. He was huge in the first quarter against the Warwick Senators. They've had guys in and out of their lineup, and it only really looked like they had their first team on the floor for the first time on Saturday night. So you've got two teams that are coming totally different paths. I'll say this, I come think that Saturday night comes down to the contributions of your role players. So you've got the best defensive player in the league going up against the best MVP. They probably cancel each other out. You've got Tom Jervis, who's probably out there. Okay, Matty Wandenberg maybe be able to sort of minimalize his impact somewhat. Okay, but then it comes down to, so you've got Godfrey and Stewart going at it. But then it comes down to the likes of Blanchard, Malik Mounier, Johnny Narkle. What are you going to get out of them? And then what are you going to get out of the likes of Dernan, Beard, what's going to come out, and then Godfrey, really. So Godfrey, will Godfrey go to Stewart, or will it be Nelson who goes to Stewart? Or will that free up Stewart? Will that free up Nelson, or will that free up Godfrey? It'll be interesting to see that. But what will they get out of their role players? And will they be, which team will be able to get, say, 25, 15, and 10 out of their role players, out of three or four guys, as opposed to the other team? That's where I think it will come down to. For me, Geraldton is everyone's second favourite team in the league. I really love them, really love chatting to them in the organisation. But I've said this once, and I'm going to say it again. When you have the MVP and you have the best coach in the league, it's really hard to go past that. And you've got Ryan Petrick and Devondrick Walker, and Ryan Petrick so motivated to get the first men's championship for the Rockingham Flames. Huge amount of work going in there. He's a Rocco kid. He won championships for the women's side. He was the one who found Sammy Wickham. Before she was anything, before she'd played in Europe, in second division, Germany. She was a great player there, brought her out here, multiple championships there. She went on to the Lynx, she's now playing WNBA. Ryan Petrick brought her out here first to the Rockingham Flames. Can he get it? I think he'd get them their first win. Special mention to our referees, they've done a fantastic job. Mark Rist, Craig Coates, and Travis Stewart. I reckon Steve Cons is unlucky to miss out on that, but he'll be doing the women's game. Fantastic. Couldn't have picked three better referees herself. I think the Rockingham Flames get the job done. Devondrick Walker, MVP. I think Ryan Petrick might shed a tear. And I think they get it done by eight.
Good call.
I've picked the Bucks. I think that, yeah, just the way they've won their finals is so hard to deny. And on the back of a 19-win season, like, you know, Marshall Nelson coming back, you know, maybe he's not quite settled in the line. You're right, Justin Beard, he's played six games now on the season, coming back in the back half of the year, impact guy. But, you know, this side hasn't, you know, in its fullest capacity, hasn't played together. And, you know, I wonder whether Ryan Petrick plays with the starting lineup, or does Travis Dernan start again, or do you go back to Marshall Nelson? How do you structure that? And I just, you know, that maybe that unsettled feel that might be around that. Versus the Bucks being such a settled, solid lineup that have been the same all year that you've spoken about. I think they'll just go out and do their thing. They win by eight, and Cam Coleman is the MVP for me.
Well, I'm backing you a little bit this time, Jordan. As much as I'd be really happy for the Flames to win, and they've got that slightly emotive pull, the first championship and all that type of thing.
Yeah, there's an emotional element, surely.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Geraldton got their chance in 2019.
Yes, I agree with you, but I'm voting with the head for the tip. I'm going to go with the Bucks by 6 points, and I'm going to back Jordan with Coleman as the MVP there. Now, look, of course, there's plenty of places where people can either view these games or hear the games. What do we got going on there?
So both games will be on KO Freebies on Friday and Saturday night. So I'm on the women's game on Friday night on KO Freebies, and Ben's on the men's game on Saturday night. So 7:30 tip-off for the women's on Friday and 7 p.m. for men's. Don't have to pay for anything. It's all on KO Freebies.
Free.
Just sign up for a free account, and you get that straight through to your TV. It's great stuff. And there's also a radio broadcast. So if you can't get around to TV, it'll be on 91.3 Sport FM, both the women's and men's grand finals. Broadcast will be starting 10 minutes before tip-off in each game. So the women's will be starting about 20 past 7, and the men's will be starting at about 10 to 7 on Saturday night and Friday night. Get around that. 91.3 if you're in the Perth metro area on the FM band, or sportfm.com.au if you want to stream it. I've got the men's grand final for that one on Saturday night. We'll find out who's going to be calling the women's grand final on Friday night, but it should be a lot of fun.
Well, of course, we mentioned it in the opener, then the winners of the NBL One West Championships do go on to the national finals, which is going to be this year held in Victoria.
Yeah, it should be a beauty. And Ben, you're headed across for it. Going to catch some games over there. There's going to be a lot of excitement about it, given that it's had a couple of false starts already. You know, we nearly had it last year, and then it didn't quite eventuate. There's got to be a lot of excitement about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so there'll be representatives from all of the five conferences, and then of course that wild card. Mm-hmm. And it'll be played over 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday too. One thing that's great for our WA league is for us to be on that same sort of level, and it's been talked about, and we've had multiple guests talk about that, but yeah, to have an official NBL One champion, but to see where we sort of fit as well would be really cool to see.
You can check all of the details over at nbl1.com.au. Boys, we're going to get together one more time in season 2022. It's going to of course be our grand final wrap, so we look forward to speaking one more time in season 2022 next week.
It should be a lot of fun this weekend, and no doubt it'll be fun to recap it next week.
Yeah, it should be awesome. We'll see how we go, and it'll be interesting to see which two teams are boarding the flight to Melbourne in just 10 days' time.
Thank you to Ben Pether and Jordan Scardetta. Brett Costello with you. You've been with the NBL One West Radio Show.
The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West Radio Show.